Los Angeles friendos, join Going In Raw as we go live on stage with Wrestling With Regrets' Brian Zane September 24th at the Nerdist Showroom in L.A. The link to tickets is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife.
Marie.
And you are going in Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here, youtube.com/Steven Larson. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the little notify bell on YouTube because we're on the road to 182,000 subs, Larson.
We've been on that road all year.
We had a little jump in our subs since yesterday's episode when we announced our epic road to 182,000. We had 11 more subs yesterday than we did the day before. Very excited about that.
We'll get there.
We'll get there by the end of 2017, assuming this world doesn't collapse before then. We want to get to 182,000 subs. We're gonna have a massive live stream. I'm announcing it right now.
Wow!
As soon as we get to 182,000 subs,
discuss that.
182,000 subs, we'll do something very special.
Once we got to 180, and then there was like a subscriber purge.
Yeah,
and we dropped 1,000 below. Remember that?
Yeah, no, I remember that.
We had the pizza party anyways,
though. Yeah. So yeah, we're gonna have pizza and maybe we'll bring back Gaming In Raw for like a one time live stream.
Mm.
Yeah.
What kind of pizza should we get?
I like it now.
Round table again.
We'll see if what our Patreon's at.
Costco then.
Costco. Oh, you know, I like Costco pizza.
I do too.
Yeah. I like it. Isn't it cheap? How much you can get Costco pizza?
Like
for
$8.
Ooh. Hey.
And it's way better than its comparably priced competitors.
Oh yeah, for sure.
At that price point.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. We have 57 people watching.
Hi, everybody.
Pretty sure I just put this out to the $5 patrons. And we're still, today's the second to last day in August. If you patron us to $10 right now, well, then next week I'll send you a postcard with our signatures on it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a fan of my YouTube channel, YouTube MF Steve here, I'll get Lacey to sign it too. But you have to specify that. You have to ask for that. You okay with that?
I guess I can't say no.
I just shouldn't have told you. That's the thing. I just shouldn't have told you. I do a lot of things behind your back. I'm just saying. We're also at Pro Wrestling Tees. ProWrestlingTees.com/Going In Raw. Going In Raw. All sorts of great designs, including Mega Santa, if you haven't seen, and Fun Wrestling, if you haven't seen WGPW Fun Wrestling's 24-karat stream, which went down live yesterday. It's on our channel right now.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I'm really... It might
massive.
Be...
Massive return at the end.
It's probably the best show that Fun Wrestling or WGPW has ever put on. I'm really proud of that show.
Including
I think it went off really well.
Even the echoey intro.
You know,
Dave. Here. What?
Oh, RK. Okay, now I get it. Your thumb there.
You had to read it out loud. That was amazing.
Almost. No, I mean, I didn't say it was perfect.
Just, I just so you guys are in on the joke.
It came off really well.
For the Patreon live stream of this episode right here, I do a different thumb than on the YouTube version.
Yeah.
And it shows Randy Orton giving an RKO to Shinsuke, and I always like to do little puns
within
the title. So it says, going in RKO.
Yeah.
Going in RK, like raw, but RKO.
But yeah, but you just mash the two together.
Exactly. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but you just figure it out.
Is that your stomach?
Already.
Oh my goodness.
Dang it.
I mean, it's almost 1 o'clock.
Freaking sandwich. Anyways.
It is almost one, Steve. So
let's talk about SmackDown Live.
Yeah.
Who cares about Raw?
It was an all right show. There were some fun moments, but I think I was instantly put in a pessimistic disposition when the very first thing they did was announce a tag team main event.
Yeah.
Without developing that match organically throughout the show.
Yeah.
Usually when they do that, I just know the end of the show isn't going to be that interesting.
Okay, so here's the thing. 99% of the time, it has to be a real stinker for SmackDown not to at least tickle me.
Yeah.
And it's usually, it inherently has an advantage because it's 2 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very brisk. It also has a lot of people on here that I really love, and they can do anything, and I'll be totally into it. And so there were things that I really liked about this week's episode.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens being the ref was by
far. Oh, that was hilarious.
That was my favorite. But there were enough things. But like you said, when you kick it off saying, hey, we've got a random tag main event, that doesn't do much for me.
No. Because it just feels like okay, this is an episode where, at least for the A story, we're kind of spinning our wheels.
Yeah, but there's also people on SmackDown that you can just sort of chuckle at because they're inadvertently, they're funny in a way that I don't think they're supposed to be funny. Like, for example, we got another great Dolph promo. It's just the exact, it's like, look, if you want to keep on making me laugh, then keep on doing that, because it's so dumb it's funny.
It's not a good direction.
It's not a good direction at all.
It's like what we say last week, whiny Dolph is awful.
Yeah,
they doubled down on it.
Yeah, I know, exactly. They totally
and then he called Finn Balor charisma vacuum.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, Dolph. All right, Dolph.
You really want to be throwing literally, stones there, Dolph.
I'm not a huge Finn fan.
Yeah.
I enjoy his work.
Yeah.
But he's one of those wrestlers that can stand in the ring and not say a word, and your eyes are fixed on him.
I know. Exactly.
That's charisma. That's innate charisma. Yeah. He has it.
Yeah. Did you see? I posted like a video link of one of his old Bullet Club.
No, I need to watch some of
promo
his
type. I would really love. I just want you to watch one of them. And I just want to get your like instant take on it, because I think you would really dig it.
Oh, I probably would.
He was, and it's kind of a shame that they didn't bring him in. I mean, I know they had high hopes for him as sort of like a big time face who could sell a lot of merch. But if they'd let him, he could be so supremely over, even more so than he is now as a tweener.
Mm-hmm.
If he had that attitude he had in New Japan and Bullet Club.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's neither here nor
there. That could
be
said for a lot of wrestlers.
No, that's true. I mean, look at the Usos. I mean, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Anyways, the episode kicked off with, like I said, the announcement that Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura would be teaming up to take on Rusev and Jinder Mahal as the main event.
And then the Singh brothers came out to introduce Jinder Mahal.
Yeah.
They all went down to the ring. Mahal dropped a promo. Decent enough promo.
Yeah, no, I liked it. And then he like started placing shame on the Singh brothers.
Yeah, and they apologized.
No, they didn't just apologize. This is the most profuse, like, just dramatic, melodramatic apologizing. And it finished with them begging Jinder to allow them to kiss his champion feet.
Yes.
I thought it was great.
It was pretty good. Singh brothers actually did really well in this segment.
They really did. They're great. So before they got around to kissing Jinder's boots, Shinsuke Nakamura's music hit. He gets over there. He instantly gets past the Singh brothers.
Oh, like they were standing in front of him between him and Jinder, and he literally just did this.
He just, he parted them.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, that was great.
And then so he starts brawling with Mahal. Eventually, Mahal and the Singh brothers get the upper hand. Randy Orton comes out to the ring.
Sprints to the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rusev comes out. Mm-hmm. It's funny because Orton got his video package.
Yeah.
They made a big to-do about Orton coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Rusev just walked out.
Yeah.
And so everybody's brawling. Rusev kicks Orton in the face. And then Mahal hits Nakamura with the Colossus.
Yes.
So the heels stood tall to end the segment.
Nakamura's great, man. He sells everybody's finishers amazing.
Yeah, he does. I mean,
you know,
the RKO at the end of the episode.
The RKO. He sold that huge. He sold Baron Corbin's End of Days really good. And he sold, remember him selling Bobby Roode's Glorious DDT?
Yeah.
Sold it like $1 million bucks. He's great.
Right after this segment, they announced that next week on SmackDown, this is where things get a little interesting, Orton will take on Nakamura in a one-on-one bout. On the line is a future title shot.
Hey, whoa!
I'm assuming at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, I think so.
So, that came into play after the main event.
It's going to be interesting. The Hell in a Cell is September.
No, it's October.
But it's early October. Yeah, it's early. It's like October 9th or something.
Something like that.
I think
probably.
it's something like that.
Yeah.
They're going to need. See, that's the problem with the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. Is that Hell in a Cell really needs to be... Like, I totally got it for Sasha Charlotte. That made sense.
Yeah. I mean, here, I'm going to interrupt you, but if they're going to do a Hell in a Cell main event for the WWE title, it makes more sense for it to be Orton and Mahal, right?
Oh, man.
Take whether you want to see it out of the equation. It makes more sense for it to be Orton and Mahal.
Well, okay, like... I don't know, in the in kayfabe in universe. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
But we're past that.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, no, I see what you're saying. But, you know, all the layers of... No, I mean, I see what you're saying.
Because the only match right now on SmackDown that I could see being in Hell in a Cell, mm-hmm. really, at this point, is Owens versus Shane.
Yeah, sure. Oh, that'll be the main event. No, you're right. That's going to be the thing.
Again, so Shane can jump off the cage.
Oh, God, he's not going to... He can't do that. He can't do that again.
Well, he could, but this time he'll actually connect with the elbow. Because he missed against The Undertaker.
That's a terrible idea. God, you're probably
That's what's going to happen, though.
Oh, you're probably right. That's terrible. Anyways, next up we had The Ascension versus the debuting team of Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin, who literally looks like he hasn't not aged a day.
I
do love that they're still referring to him as the gold standard. I thought that was the best Shelton Benjamin gimmick back in the day.
Yeah, it was.
I hope he grew up. I don't know. Maybe he, you know, he's old now. Maybe he doesn't have much of a hairline anymore.
Oh, that could be.
But I loved when he had his hair gold also. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great.
That was great.
The original Golden Power.
Yeah.
Shelton Benjamin.
Another match, debut match, or in Shelton Benjamin's case, re-debut,
mm-hmm.
that was interrupted by a commercial break. This really bugs me.
Oh, yeah.
For a while, I was totally cool with commercial breaks, the picture-in-picture during commercial breaks of the matches.
Yeah.
Now I can't stand it.
Yeah.
Because for a time, it seemed like they were just doing character work, rest holds.
Right.
But when you have a good portion of the match and there's actually things happening, mm-hmm. I would like to see it.
Yeah.
On my television, in full, not in a smaller window. It's really starting to bother me.
Yeah, I agree. Let me ask you this, though. So, it wasn't until I think they got back from commercial break that they did the hot tag. So at least there was that.
And I know.
I think Gable was in it.
He was getting worked over by the Ascension the whole time. So maybe they just think, okay, we're going to have this going on the small screen. People get distracted by the commercials. They won't notice.
If they're
going
to do it, then that's a good way to do
it. It was the same thing last week with Bobby Roode and
Aiden English.
Yeah, Aiden English had control of the match the entire commercial break.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least they're giving you that.
But if that's the case, then just go to commercial.
Yeah. You'd rather simply see commercial over trying to give you more action.
Yeah.
I see your point. I do. Again, I see your point. I'm not necessarily certain I agree with it. I do agree with hey, if you're debuting somebody new like Bobby Roode and you're seriously going to commercial, and so I get to see this little inset of him, it's kind of insulting. But if you go to a commercial, it's sort of out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because the commercial dominates the frame. The audio plays for that, not the wrestling match.
Right.
And if what they do during the commercial break is more or less action that's not important to the story being told in the match.
Yeah.
It's just killing time.
Yeah.
I'd just rather not see it.
Well, there you go.
At this point, if they change things up, I might be cool with it.
Yeah. But, great to see Shelton in the ring, though.
Oh, it's fantastic. He picked up the win, pinning Victor after a reverse STO.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So he looks great. I mean, he doesn't look any older. I wonder...
Still moves really well.
He still moves really well. Not quite as well as he used to. I mean, back in the day, it was insane. I mean, I'm not going to expect the dude to do the springboard off the top rope and clear the ring like he used to.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he used to go from one end of the ring to the next. I remember that Shawn Michaels super kick when he went all the way over and ate a super kick. It was amazing. I don't expect a man who's 40 years old to do that.
Yeah.
But what I hope is that his time, you know, around the world over the past 7 years has taught him a lot more about storytelling in the ring, because that's something that, as a performer, I imagine, you know, we've seen this with Ric Flair, for example. You pick up on storytelling a lot more, you know, to replace maybe the physical limitations that age will bring you.
Exactly.
And he's part of Suzuki-gun.
He was.
So what better mentor to learn under than Suzuki?
Yes. Next, Baron Corbin interview. He seemed more engaged.
He did. He is totally, number one, he's in punishment phase.
Yeah.
And number two,
he's trying to work himself out of the doghouse.
I need to work myself out of punishment phase. So yeah, he totally seemed more engaged. A little bit of fire in his belly. And he was saying, I'm tired. People ask me, where's my briefcase? And so he said, oh yeah. And then he said, AJ Styles has his open challenge. So you could just consider me now new U.S. champion.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Baron, I'm pulling for you. I really am. And even in his social media, he's been nicer to people. Oh, God. It's just so funny. It's just like, because it's so transparent what's happening.
Oh, I know. But I'd rather have him do that and say, okay, admit
absolutely
to himself, take responsibility for his mistakes, correct his, I don't know if he's actually doing this, but at least put forth the appearance that he's like, yeah, okay, I'm learning my lesson.
Yeah.
I'm going to take responsibility for my mistakes and correct them.
Yeah.
And try to, put forth better behavior in social media,
yeah,
put more effort into my job.
Well, that's,
and carry myself as a professional,
okay,
backstage.
But the thing is, no, and I agree with you totally, because we want people to succeed. The funny thing is, his character is so antithetical,
oh,
to
I know,
everything you just said. He's a guy who's not supposed to give a damn, and yet we see him so giving a damn. It's fantastic. You would never see Brock trying more.
Oh, no.
You would never see him giving a damn.
No.
Oh, man. That's why it's so funny. It's so great. But I really do. I want him to do good.
Yeah.
I wish him well.
Yeah, same here. So he exits the interview, and you kind of expect him just to walk straight out to the ring. So AJ Styles comes out.
Yeah.
For the U.S. Open Challenge. And pretty much as soon as he gets to the ring, Ty Dillinger's music hits.
Yeah.
And so he starts walking out to the ring. And then Baron Corbin comes out, upset. I'm like, dude, if your intention is to answer that challenge, you got to do that interview at gorilla position.
Okay. This is a gold mine for gorilla position fantasy booking.
Yes.
This is awesome. Because you think Baron Corbin just got done with his interview and he's walking to Gorilla and Ty's already there, sort of got his stuff on, ready to go.
It's like, hey, man.
Hey, man.
But what are you doing here? You're not me.
He's still a good 20 feet away. And Ty's like, hit it.
And it goes to Baron, does this a couple times and walks down.
He walks out. And Baron full sprints out to try to.
But the thing is, he doesn't go out there and right away attacks him.
Right.
He like tries to convince him, like, hey, man, you're not me. This is my spot.
I told him to cue up my music. That's not your music. That's not my music. And Ty looked kind of put out, just a little bit put out. And then he shoved the crap out of Baron, who goes flying to the barrier, which made him look like crap. And he keeps on walking.
Great. It was fantastic. But eventually, Baron, does he get to the ring before the match? Because I think so. And then Ty or AJ sends him out, and then Ty goes to the ref, says, "Ring the bell, start this match now."
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't care. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So the match starts,
yeah,
and Corbin is just kind of milling about outside the ring.
Right, exactly.
AJ beats Ty really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping they'd give him at least 12 minutes, put on a good match.
Hey, you know what? But in that 2 minutes, Ty, it was just a matter of Ty sort of overcompensating. There was a little bit of story there.
Oh, like, no, there was. There was Ty rushing to get the match started,
right,
and rushing to get to win the title,
yeah,
before Baron could get involved.
Right,
I understand that.
Exactly.
And I understand the story. I like that aspect.
Yeah.
In the end, it cost him because he tapped out to the calf crusher. As soon as the match ends, Corbin gets in, attacks, he attacks Ty.
Mm-hmm.
Corbin gets in the ring, and AJ hits him with a forearm.
Yeah.
Corbin leaves. So
Corbin leaves, and he's just absolutely furious.
I want this to happen like every week until Hell in a Cell.
I know. Everybody just barely makes it to Gorilla before he does.
Mm-hmm.
No, man, I'm sorry. I'm here already. But you're not me.
You're not me.
They really need to give his old music back, too.
I know. And the old entrance, the old video.
I know. They really have not. They've done a disservice to him. But he's also kind
of. Maybe that's intentional at this point, though.
I honestly think it is. Like, he looks like a goofball. He just looks like, and he's all whiny outside the ring.
That's what I told you. His new gimmick is a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
After this, we had a Rusev Jinder Mahal segment backstage. I like this because they didn't directly reference their previous issues on Raw, but they alluded to them.
Yeah.
Because Rusev said, "I'm not your friend.
Yeah.
I don't want to be your friend.
Yeah.
We're out here for one reason, revenge."
Mm-hmm.
It was good.
I love Jinder coming up to him. And the great thing is, and they're never going to revisit this kind of thing. They're never going to revisit it. But Jinder comes up to him, you know, looking for friendship, basically, saying, "Hey, old friend." And Rusev says, no, we're not cool. But it kind of also illustrates that when, you know, the old storyline that when you're a champion, you always have a target on your back. And the camera went over to Jinder as Rusev said, "We're not cool. I want the championship." And he walks away. And Jinder kind of had this look on his face like he was sort of understanding that. It'd be kind of great if they explored that with Jinder. They're never going to because they preferred him to be the guy who comes out and everybody starts chanting USA at him. But I think that'd be kind of an interesting way to go.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. Anyways, next up we
have Bobby Roode versus Mike Kanellis.
Man.
The highlight of this match was that they changed the awful glorious animation.
Yeah, to a different glorious animation.
But at least it looks like it wasn't made in 10 seconds.
Yeah, they put a little bit of thought into this
one. New font. There's some effects going on. There's a smooth animation. Let's talk about Bobby Roode.
Let's have a conversation about Bobby Roode.
Because we both agree that, obviously, this is not NXT Bobby Roode.
It's almost as if, last week when he debuted, he was kind of a different character.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like Vince is a big Bobby Roode fan.
I think he's a big glorious fan. That's what I think it is.
Well, I think Bobby Roode looks like $1 million.
Oh yeah, he does.
There's no wrestling promoter in the world who look at Bobby Roode and say, "You are not world champion."
But here's the thing: I think Vince sees the reaction that his song gets.
I know, dude.
And the pop his song gets, and is going to center everything around that.
I think I think you're absolutely right. I think it's a case of Triple H doing exactly what he wanted to do with Bobby Roode in NXT.
And it was brilliant.
And it being great. And then Vince prizing Bobby Roode so much that he wants to now take the reins of Bobby Roode. And he's completely changing him. There's aspects of it that make me crack up so hardcore. For example, the little graphic they did of Bobby Roode before his match started, like before they went to commercial. Coming up next, the glorious one is coming out, and it's like Bobby Roode and then another Bobby Roode from behind and then a third Bobby Roode over here, and it's kind of comical but not in the way that they want.
Yeah.
And he comes off like you're right. It's a new gimmick. It's a new gimmick.
And his character in NXT was so good.
I know.
He was a fantastic heel.
It was a guy who came in.
And especially if they're going to push Corbin down the card, which being in the U.S. title scene is not necessarily a huge demotion.
Right.
But to add Bobby Roode, his NXT character, to the mix would have made things so much more interesting rather than just having him as smiley babyface.
I know.
Because that's what he is right now.
Well, okay. I don't know. Who did he take on? Yeah, Mike Kanellis is a heel.
And Aiden English last week.
Aiden English is a heel.
And like last week we said, okay, they know he's going to get a face pop because this is debut, so we'll kind of stick with that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I understand. I don't like it. I understand it because it'd be cool if he came out, had his match, got that pop, and then dropped a heel promo right after.
Yeah.
People are going to pop for his music regardless.
Yeah.
Regardless of if he's face or heel, because that's what happened in NXT.
Yeah.
Granted, different crowd. They appreciate good work just as much as anything there. But this week, he was doing the same stuff.
It was
a lot of smiling. There's one point, I swear someone must have had a glorious line in the crowd because he pointed at them and smiled at them.
Yeah.
Bobby Roode NXT would not have done that.
I know.
So they're definitely doing something different.
I know.
Now, you're of the hope that they're setting us up for a turn, right?
Well, I'm hoping for something along the lines of, okay, so you remember when Daniel Bryan won he cashed in?
Yeah.
And he became Arrogant Heel?
Yeah.
I'm hoping for something kind of like that. Like maybe kind of, and I'm only referencing this because he's been in the news lately with Hurricane Harvey and stuff, Joel Osteen, okay? Real creepy, smiling televangelist guy, okay? If they go in the direction of something like that where he's so into his own hype.
How about this?
Then maybe it'll work.
How about this? He's so devastated from losing the NXT title that he puts up this facade.
Oh, I mean, immediately, I love it, but that's never going to be
the case.
No, I
know.
Yeah,
I know.
It'd be great.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic.
He's like, okay, I'm going to put up this facade that everything's cool, that I'm smiling, I'm happy, I love the fans.
Yeah.
But inside, I'm crushed that I
lost
that
belt. I
just
think he's doing it, and it's my hope, but I'm much more pessimistic about how I think it's actually. I honestly think that this might indeed, my fear is what you're saying. In that there's Vince is simply doing a glorious baby face, and that's what he's going to be. My hope.
My worst fear is that they don't know what they're going to do with him.
Yeah.
Well, that's the worst possible
scenario. That's a very distinct scenario.
Because I think if they go to Bobby and say, okay, this is your character now, you're this you know, a happy, smiling, glorious baby face, that he is talented enough to say, okay, I'll do this, 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 this. I'll make it interesting.
Yeah.
I think he is that good.
Okay, here's...
But if they say, oh, all right, Bobby, we're going to play your song. We're going to focus on that a lot, do your pose a lot. That's it.
Here's a scenario I could see happening, and I'd be okay with it. Here's where it could work. And I'm not going to say that they're going to do this, but I could see it happening. It wouldn't surprise me. So right now, he's obviously going on a tear through Jobbers. Okay, Mike Kanellis, which, by the way, is like one of the biggest missed opportunities.
I know.
Because their debut, you guys remember the live stream reaction, I was like, oh my God, this is terrible. But then when I went back and looked at it, I was like, no, this is right for all the wrong reasons, or wrong for all the right reasons, whatever you want to call it. I thought it was a great opportunity, mm-hmm. bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going through these jobbers. AJ's doing the open challenge, right? AJ is like the perfect babyface. People will cheer him no matter what.
Yeah.
So what better first belt to go after, of course, than the U.S. title
makes all the sense.
In an open challenge. At that point, you can bring back NXT Bobby Roode, because he's gone through, he's tearing down all these heel things. You can go in there with AJ, and he's being arrogant, glorious guy, because you can't go anywhere. You cannot go anywhere else with that. You can't give him the WWE. You can't have him be a face like this much longer. I mean, he'll tear through some heels, and then he'll answer the open challenge, and he'll cheat, or he'll take a chair to AJ or something. He'll show his vicious side, and it'll launch them into a promo. Maybe he'll... I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
Now I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that's going to happen. Because, well, I mean, what's the end game here? What's the end game? Who's he going to... Okay, let me ask you something. He's tearing through heels. Let's say your scenario, and they don't know what they want to do with him, but they have to do something with him. He's tearing through these heels. What's next? Who's he going to fight? Baron Corbin?
Mm-hmm. After Baron's done with AJ. Yeah. That would have to be it.
And then, like, Rusev?
Mm-hmm.
And he's just going to keep on being smiling Bobby Roode?
After Mahal drops the belt. Mahal.
I mean, it's funny. They get on, you know, they talk about, well, was the Daniel Bryan yes chance? Were the yes chance over, or was he over? Obviously, he was over.
Yeah.
I mean, in this case, they're setting it up so that it's just the glorious thing and not him.
I know. We're in NXT. He was over.
It was him. Yeah.
So, I mean, they referenced his time in NXT once, just in passing, the interview last week.
Yeah.
But, I mean... It seems such a disconnect to have him show up on SmackDown being a completely different character, not to reference his time in NXT really in any significant manner.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of the whole point we've been saying, or one of the whole points, especially for him, of people going to NXT, is to develop a character and a brand.
Mm-hmm.
And then to build it up enough so they can transition to main.
Yeah.
And people, maybe not all of Maine's audience, but a large portion of it, will be familiar with this wrestler.
Yeah. I'm hoping, you know what? I'm hoping they just mirror his NXT thing. Because his NXT thing, he came out to the glorious theme, and then he dropped a nasty heel promo.
Yeah, which would have been great if he had done that last week.
No, I know, but maybe they're just thinking, hey, let's get all the face pops out of the way. Let's get all the face pops out of the way, because we know that's going to happen. We know people are going to be excited for the NXT transition to Maine debut. We, you know, they love doing the glorious thing. They love all that stuff. And maybe all the smiling during the match is them just saying, let's just get all this out of the way. Let's make him as babyface, as ridiculously babyface as possible, because it'll make his turn even more effective. Then
I would like to hope that they have a plan in place. I don't really feel like they do.
I feel like it can go either
way. I understand.
I mean, every plan can change.
No, I understand that 2 weeks is a very small sample size. But like if he had another interview last night, and gave us a hint at something.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, the week before he said...
Yeah, the short promo. I know.
Talked about box office.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of echoes what he wanted with NXT.
A little bit.
What was his promo like last night?
He didn't have one last night.
Oh, he didn't have one last night. Okay. And they referenced the box office thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, shades of what he wanted for
a
NXT.
A little bit.
It's just the thing with NXT, and I still maintain it's kind of odd about the thing about NXT, is that he never really saw his plan... developed to fruition. He never carried through on that original thing.
Oh, I know. I know about having NXT. CEOs in the front row and all that stuff. Yeah, I know.
They never really reference that.
Well, I mean, they can't really... They're going to plant a bunch of people in suits sitting in the front row.
Oh, no, I don't know. I think, I mean, there's a story to be told there. I don't know what it is. I'm just saying there's a story to be told there. He set it up, and they never brought it back.
Yeah.
Anyways, he went over with the glorious DDT.
Yes.
Yeah.
Next, Aiden English came out to sing.
Yes.
Oh, before this, actually, before they went to commercial, they showed Kevin Owens walking through the bowels of the arena.
Yeah.
towards the ring area. So Aiden English is singing. He's interrupted by Kevin Owens.
This was my highlight of the night.
This whole thing was pretty good.
Yeah.
So Kevin Owens says, essentially, they're in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And said, people in Arkansas can't appreciate your... I can't remember the exact terminology he
said. He said these hillbillies,
yes,
don't have some. It's something like don't have the intelligence or culture to appreciate your singing. And he says, so you know, why don't you leave and let me take over?
And Aiden English does this and says something to him.
But then Kevin Owens, in true bully fashion, says, "I'm not going to ask you twice."
I know.
So he was like being nice to him, but he was basically just saying, "Get out of here."
Yeah,
yeah,
get out of the ring.
So anyways, he starts cutting a promo on Shane McMahon. They roll the footage of Shane, you know, you can call it screwing him over, you know, taking over for Baron Corbin, who left, and getting the three count on Kevin Owens, where he lost his U.S. title match against AJ Styles. Cuts back to Kevin Owens, and he starts calling out Shane McMahon, basically saying, you know, you can't do this. Your refereeing is terrible. It shouldn't have mattered when he counted three. Shane McMahon comes down. He goes through the situation, explains why he did what he did.
Well, he said, Kevin, you picked your own referee. It was Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin quit. So essentially he was saying, don't take it up with me. Take it up with the referee that you chose.
Yeah, exactly. And he says, you're not. He says, get out of the ring. The match that's going to happen right now is Aiden English and this man right here. And it's Sami Zayn, of course, rubbing it in Kevin Owens' face. It's his old best friend. The guys have tons of history. He comes out. Sami Zayn has a little extra stank on his face. Kevin Owens has to leave. But instead of leaving, Kevin Owens goes to commentary, which immediately is great.
Yeah.
The match kicks off. Kevin Owens is laying into Byron Saxon, for one thing, and talking about how crappy the refs are. So he says, you know what? I can't stand this. I'm speechless. I'm done with this. I'm going to take over now. So he goes in there. He takes the ref's shirt off, puts it on himself, and he starts reffing the match. Sami Zayn's not really paying attention until he gets up to the second turnbuckle and looks like, what are you doing?
And Kevin Owens goes, I'm the ref. I'm the ref now. Great.
So anyway, Sami Zayn goes down there. Kevin Owens ends up, he starts reffing for a very short period of time, and then he just tosses Sami Zayn into
him a powerbomb.
Give him a pop-up powerbomb. Counts a really three fast three count.
He tells Aiden English to pin him.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, he does a fast three count. Aiden English picks up the win.
Which was hilarious because, and a couple of people noticed this on Twitter, and I was like, oh yeah. It was like, did Aiden English get new theme music? No. We've just never heard it.
Oh, that's true.
Because he's never won before. Because I was like, what is
No, he beat Ty in a pre-show.
Oh, yeah. But I don't remember the music.
I don't either.
I don't remember the music. That's funny. That's right. I was so busy gloating, I think. That might have been. Was that the pre-show or we weren't listening?
Could be.
Okay, that could have been the thing. Maybe he does have new music. Maybe it's just music that we hadn't heard before. I don't know.
Went to commercial. We came back. Shane McMahon interview. And he was saying, in interesting fashion, that in this case, the referee's decision does not stand. This match will be wiped from the record books. Yeah. Never happened.
Never happened. So sorry, Aiden English. You did not get another win.
Then after that, Dolph Ziggler gave an interview.
What? So I thought this week he was going to debut all of the gimmicks.
Yeah, his gimmick of every gimmick.
His gimmick of all his gimmicks. But instead, all he did was go on this long spiel about...
It was kind of more of the same from last week.
Yeah.
And then he called Finn a charisma vacuum.
Yeah. So that was weird. It was really long. At one point, he almost got lost by saying the word fancy. He said, come down with a fancy robe. It made me laugh. But I don't know. It was just, I don't know. It's so bad. But I was cracking up because it's
not good.
It's not good.
It's not good.
It's so bad. Next. So I wonder, what? I'm still just dying to know. I mean, that's one thing. I'm dying to know what it's going to be.
But not for the reason they hope you are dying to know.
Yeah, I don't know what they're hoping. I don't know what they're hoping I want.
I mean, we're expecting a train wreck, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has to be a train wreck. Okay, here's what I think it's going to be. Well, let's speculate, okay?
How about this?
I'll tell you what I think it's going to be. You tell. Go ahead.
You go first. Still, okay. Same time. Three. Two, one.
It's gonna be
black
trunks,
black boots.
I think he's gonna be walking down. I hope it's what you're saying.
Like he just goes simple.
Yeah. I hope that he just comes. I actually hope it's gonna be that. I think he's just gonna be coming down the ring talking a lot. I don't know what he's gonna be saying.
I mean, if they want to bury Dolph, that's how they do it.
Well, they're already doing that.
I mean, like
super bury him.
Like essentially ending his WWE career.
Like none of the gimmicks.
Like he's the absence of gimmick.
Yeah.
He cuts his hair real short.
Yeah.
He's a young lion, essentially. No elbow pads, no knee
That's
pads.
His gimmick is young lion.
You can
That's
only
perfect.
Do a handful of moves.
Yeah.
You can't have any signatures or
and
finishers
And then like
yet.
During the other matches, he roams around
yeah.
learning.
And he sets up the ring before the card and yeah. all that kind of stuff.
That's perfect. He's young lion. That's great.
Next, The New Day versus The Usos. It's good to see Xavier Woods out there. Apparently, he just has an MCL sprain.
And he was telling us all because, yeah, he said that in his, on a live stream of his for Up, Up, Down,
yeah.
Down. He had a sign around his neck that just said, I'm sore.
Yeah.
Or it's sore.
It's sore.
Yeah, so he's going to be okay.
That's good. It's good to hear that he didn't have any significant
Apparently, Becky Lynch said
knee.
That she had something similar and she was only out for like a month and she still was able to wrestle like for some of that.
Yeah.
So
okay. So he had a knee brace on. So it was Kofi and Big E
mm-hmm.
against the Usos in a non-title match. But the winner of this match did get a pick stipulation for their title match. I'm assuming at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't it be interesting if it's Hell in a Cell and the stipulation is not Hell in a Cell?
Yeah, yeah, right. Hell in a Cell, you get to pick your stipulation.
Anything but Hell
TLC.
In a Cell. I know, I know. Iron Man match.
You mean he's going to be something silly like a Uso penitentiary
That's what,
match?
That's exactly what it's going to be. That's the first thing I thought. Maybe they'll do this. How about this? They'll have a regular steel cage,
yeah.
and then outside of that will be Hell
yeah,
in a Cell.
Be good.
That
like
will be
it.
The Uso penitentiary match.
I like it a lot. And then we can't see what's going on inside.
I know. The thing is, they don't need a stipulation. I mean, it'd be great if it was like 2 out of 3 falls.
Yeah.
But
that's
they've been putting on such
always
awesome
for.
Matches
yeah.
during the course of this entire feud that they don't need like a no DQ match or anything
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
But maybe that's how they want to just kind of put a wrinkle on their feud because I think for this whole time it's just been, you know, standard wrestling rules.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I believe it was Jimmy Uso picked up the win over Kofi with a roll-up and a handful of tights.
Yes.
Another fun match between these two teams.
Yeah, no, I love it. Next up, we had James Ellsworth interviewing Carmella because What's-Her-Face was there. I think Dasha was there. And he told her to scram so that he can interview Carmella. Carmella was upset with James Ellsworth because last week he spoiled her plan to cash in during the tag match. Natalya shows up with the world's best championship in
and
tow.
An awesome new shirt.
And a great new shirt, yeah. It's like got a cat on it with lots of great colors.
Yeah.
And paws
very,
out, claws out, something like that.
I think paws up, claws.
Paws up, claws out. I don't know.
Paws up, claws up?
Yeah,
I don't remember.
She's great. Nobody's going to buy it.
Anyways, and then Natalya said Carmella's going to be the Baron Corbin of the women's division.
Oh, that was great.
And Ellsworth.
Oh, Ellsworth sold that
oh,
amazingly.
My gosh.
That was fantastic.
Both of them did. Carmella looked like she was trying not to laugh.
You're the Baron Corbin. That's good.
Because she turned away and had
yeah.
to
yeah.
do something like that. That was pretty funny. So Carmella and Ellsworth leave. Naomi comes in. Oh, Carmella versus Natalya next week.
Yes. But that's not like her cash-in, right?
No, it's just a match.
That's just a match.
Naomi comes in and says, in 2 weeks, Natalya will have to defend the title against her.
For her rematch clause.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she can have a long 2 weeks. Next up, we had a Lana promo.
So what they're doing with this Lana Tamina program is they're just doing the Rusev thing all over again.
Well, kind of. I mean, in terms of like Lana's role, kind
yeah.
of. But
I know, I mean, like
it's with a very hesitant.
I know, and also Rusev came out all in on their
right, exactly, and
their
so this
deal.
Is,
whereas Tamina, as you said, seems somewhat reluctant about the
because
whole thing.
Did you see? So she fought a jobber, completely squashed her.
Tina Stock,
but Lana was on the outside doing like the Rusev thing,
yeah,
saying
she said
crush.
She said Tamina crush,
Tamina
yeah.
crush stuff like that, and that would get Tamina jazzed up a little bit more. But did you see the... So afterwards, she had like a photographer taking pictures of
Tamina. Oh, I heard about that, yeah.
And they have the pictures, the actual pictures online. And this is sort of, I think, what they're getting at, is that Lana's trying to doll up Tamina to be like, you know, she's just sort of uncomfortable in front of the cameras.
Hmm.
So she's trying to make her more comfortable with herself.
Yeah.
You know, like she's going to be a crush person. But she's also going to be, you know, like ravishing as well, I
think. Yeah, because Lana was talking about the ravishing revolution or something.
Right,
like
exactly.
That.
So it's off to a bad start, but I think these are going to get...
See, why didn't they show that on TV?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that actually adds some depth to what they're doing. Because on TV it just came off as, oh, they're doing the Rusev thing again.
Right, right. Did they not show all this on TV?
Not that I recall.
Oh, okay, because I just know. Yeah, I kind of tuned out a little bit. I noticed this when I was looking through the pictures and stuff. But I thought that was hilarious. But yeah, you're right. Maybe they will bring this up next week. Maybe that's the thing.
Could be, or maybe this on their YouTube channel.
Yeah, that could be too. But anyways, yeah, Tamina went over the jobber with a super kick. Tina Stock, sorry. Next up, we had season 2, episode 1 of The Fashion Files.
Yeah.
This was good. They were trying to solve
the 2B.
The 2B still. And then they turned on a black light.
Yeah, they went through some new crime fighting tools that their crime lab gave them.
Yeah, one of them was a title.
No, it was just a belt.
Oh, yeah, it's a belt. They made that joke. It's great. It's fantastic.
And then, so they took the black light and they start shining on their shirts.
There's the one thing that made me laugh. The one thing that made me laugh more than anything in this segment, because it was a good segment. The one thing that made me laugh more than anything was, God, I just snotted, was when Tyler Breeze, one of his crime fighting tools was friendship bracelets.
Oh, yeah.
And Fandango put it on and says, "Get on the friendship. All aboard. All aboard the friendship." Oh God!
Well, just thinking that
little throwaways are so great.
That gag where Fandango put on one pair of glasses, he gets two other ones. Yeah. He's just talking, he just casually puts the other one. You know exactly where that's going when he's a handful of sunglasses, but it was still funny because delivery is so good.
I know, he's such a great. They both have great comedic timing.
But the whole they took the black light flashlight out, and they were kind of shining it around the room, and there was some arrows on their evidence boxes.
Yeah.
Pointing, which at first seemed to be in a triangle, arrows pointing at each other, and then Fandango repositioned one. It was pointed towards the 2B sign they made. They flashed the black light on it, and it said,
Or not to be.
And so they were going, Shakespeare, artist, Aiden English.
Aiden English.
So yeah. I'm guessing next week they will confront Aiden English to see if he is the man who has been... trashing their office.
Correct.
I'm guessing not.
Probably not. Going to be Luke Harper and Eric Rowan.
Probably.
Yeah. After that, we had the main event. Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura versus Rusev and Jinder Mahal.
Started out with a brawl on the outside. Commercial break, came back. Pretty standard tag match.
Yeah.
Got interesting. Nakamura pinned Rusev after Kinshasa. But afterwards, when things got a little interesting. Because Orton... And Nakamura, just like talking in the ring. Very friendly, cordial, and casual.
Yeah, I really want to know what was being said right there.
There was a laugh, I think.
It did. Yeah, there was. It did seem very like, oh, man, you see what happened over there? Did you get that one spot that I was talking to? Oh, I missed it. Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, oh, that's fine. No, we'll get next
then
time.
Then bang, RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Diamond cutter out of nowhere. It was good. I liked it. And again... Nakamura sold the crap out of it.
Yeah, he looked like he landed right on his face.
It looked fantastic. Everything he does, like every move he takes, it always just looks like he dumps himself on his head. It's kind of crazy. Anyways, let's answer some... Oh, you know what I haven't done? I did not do this yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
New pledges. Oh, crap. I'm just getting in it. There we go. You load up questions.
Oh, they're already loaded, man.
Get your first question ready as I read these off.
I can do the first question right now.
No, stop it. I don't know where I left off last week, so I'm going to start with Joshua Montano, Trey Garrow, Matt McCarty, Suds, Baron Corbin's Hairline Worldwide, Will Strauss, Philip Green, Tony Huffman, Overrated Dumpster Fire, Sam Brunker, Ben Holt, the Dragon, Frosty Gambino, The Loserate, Number One Contender, Hacksaw Ben Thuggin, Jake Seitz, Michael Cooper, Penultimate Tommy Wiseau's back, and Dylan Deveney.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.
First question, Fat Bastard Champ Alex Foster.
You fat bitch.
He says, what in the Hans Christian Andersen did Ty do to lose in about 2 minutes?
He was on TV.
His urgency. He was wrestling with a sense of urgency.
He was on TV. It fit within the confines of the storyline.
Yeah.
And it was essential for moving the brisk show along. I was okay with it.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I want Ty to get more TV time.
I want Ty to get all the TV time.
I understood the point of it. Yeah. Jack Dolan is Total Divas ruining the women's divisions. No.
I don't watch Total Divas. I'm fine with the women's divisions. So, no.
Especially once Asuka... comes up to Maine. She's not going to be on Total Divas.
I don't think she's going to be on Total Divas.
No. And she'll hold all the belts probably.
Yeah.
King of Swerve Style, Damian Dam. power rank possible stipulations for the tag team title match.
Number one is Uso Penitentiary yeah, match.
Steel cage inside of a Hell in a Cell.
Right. Number two is a shower match because, you know, they reference, like, you know, the penitentiary showers. You know, bad things happen there. Number three is It's Sore match.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know what that is, but that's number three.
And number four. Two out of three falls.
Two out of three falls. And then number five is
the Uso Penitentiary, but they actually go to a real prison.
Oh, yeah. It would be like House of Horrors, but an actual penitentiary. Okay.
Exactly.
Sounds good.
RJ, hey, friendos, is this an Orton heel turn, or is it just tweener Orton listening to his voices? I hope for the former. Thanks. It's just RK out of nowhere.
This is like two guys going to be fighting for the title.
Or for a chance for the title.
Chance for the title.
Orton's just saying, hey, I have this. And RK out of nowhere. It can hit me anytime. That's all it
is. You don't want to try. You don't want to try putting up Nakamura as a big face against Orton as a big heel, because people aren't going to root against Orton as a heel. Like, the dude burned down a guy's house as an act of a face.
Yeah. And people cheered it.
Oh, nice. We're at 181.
Oh, cool.
We're above the Wade Keller podcast. Cheap Heat. Really? Cheap Heat?
Wow.
Man, we're above Killing the Town and Lillian Garcia. Oh, and the Taz Show. He's coming at number 200. Moose.
Cool.
Moving on.
Evil Larson. Mike Kanellis, Ty Dillinger, Sami Zayn. Was last night the night of forgotten superstars? Anyway, my question for this week is, who had or has the better DDT, Jake Roberts, Raven, Bobby Roode, or Alexa Bliss?
With all respect to everybody in the past, the Glorious DDT is really... People pretty sell good. The crap out of it.
It's pretty
people,
good.
People have been selling that really, really well. I always loved Raven's DDT, though. It always felt special, and was also named after Pearl Jam.
So. It was. Even flow.
Even flow.
Marky Mark and the Bullet Bunch. Hey, friendos, I've been a patron for a month or two, and this is my first question. Cool. Thank you very much. How do you feel about Natalya's Baron Corbin reference? Still punishment to Corbin, or just a reference to his ultimate cast iron failure?
It's still punishment.
It is, but it was funny. Punishment.
It was hilarious.
It was really funny.
It was great. But oh, yeah. Oh, man. Great question. So we've sort of been watching the Mae Young Classic. Like, you've watched the first two episodes.
Yeah.
I've watched most of one.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've kind of paid attention to the participants. Power Rank, who this is, that guy says, Power Rank, who should go straight to main? Jazzy Gabert. I admittedly have not seen her wrestle yet.
Oh, okay.
But she's a power wrestler. She's big. What really do you need to know?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Candice LeRae.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a wealth of experience.
Yeah. Toni Storm.
Yeah.
I love Toni Storm.
She's great.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Kairi Sane wrestle yet. I mean, I've been hearing for a long time that she's spectacular.
Yeah.
Those are the names. Hold on. Let me look at my notes from the first two episodes and see if anybody else.
I'd like to see Baszler go to NXT.
Yeah.
I want to see her go to NXT first.
Yeah, that's it for now.
Okay.
Rhea Ripley had a good showing.
Oh, yeah?
She's only 20, but she carries herself she's been wrestling for a while.
Interesting.
Like, she comes out with a lot of confidence. CM Punk finds it insulting. Do you want to do it as CM Punk?
CM Punk finds it insulting.
Seeing as Gato is an active wrestler for New Japan as well as their head booker, who are three active WWE wrestlers who could be... Fill the same role, essentially.
Number one, Kevin Owens.
Yes.
Absolutely, Kevin Owens.
Number two, Sami Zayn.
Yeah. They'd be a booking team, though.
Yeah.
Let's put them one. They're both at one. Number two.
Chris Jericho.
Oh, that's good.
I feel like he could do a good job. He's a very creative individual.
I think you're right about that. You know, I'll give number three to Dean Ambrose. He seems to have a mind for creative things on that Stone
Cold
podcast.
You'd make WWE into CZW.
Exactly. I love it. Dick Knuckle asks, whatever happened to the Slammies? They trot out the Slammies just sort of whenever.
They didn't do it last year, did they? Or did they?
I think they did.
It's usually towards the end of the year.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's always, or the last couple of years, at least, it's been December.
They trot them out like whenever it sort of suits them. whenever they need like a little bit of a ready, if they have nothing else going on. The Punjabi Larson match. Last year, everyone was on board for the cruiserweight division being sent to SmackDown with the Kendrick versus Kalisto match at Survivor Series last year. Would you like to see the cruiserweights on SmackDown now?
There's not time for them.
There is zero room for the cruiserweights on SmackDown.
Nemo, the Universal Kidney Punching Champion, do you think the WWE is oversaturated? If so, what would you do to help with the influx of talent?
Is it oversaturated?
Do they have an embarrassment of riches?
Yeah, I mean, but that's not really a... You can't really... That's not a bad thing to have.
Yeah, I guess it's not a bad problem to have.
Right, exactly. What would you do? Potentially add another hour to NXT? Add another hour to SmackDown? I mean, I know it would turn SmackDown into a slog.
Potentially.
But what else can you really do?
Especially once they start bringing up in a year or two Adam Cole.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, Aleister Black.
Mm-hmm. The releases, I mean, here's the thing. The releases are going to be like jaw-dropping at that point. It's going to be like, really? They got rid of him?
Yeah.
You know, but
they got rid of Dolph? He's been around forever.
I know. They got rid of Ty Dillinger? Really? Yeah, Patrick Sparks kind of echoes with this question, what we were talking about earlier. Is Corbin's new gimmick going to be him attempting to accept AJ Styles' U.S. Open Challenge only to be beat to the ring by other superstars?
I hope so.
He can't saunter fast enough, so he loses opportunities. I think that'd be hilarious.
Dylan Devaney. Hey, friendos. New patron here. Thank you very much. Given the social media back and forth between Ambrose and Rollins and the Usos, it's possible WWE is building to another brand versus brand scenario Survivor Series. If this is the case, what kind of cross-brand matches would you like to see at Survivor Series? They actually made the Team Raw versus Team SmackDown match last year fun.
Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be great.
And the build was good.
What I'd love is to see AJ come out and do his open challenge to anybody on the Raw roster that wants to fight for my United States Championship.
And have Finn Balor come out.
And have Finn come out.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That'd be fantastic. So Tommy T has a question here. He says, my question is, with you guys constantly insulting most of the Ruthless Aggression era, even though you both say that's when you both kind of stopped watching.
When do we insult it?
Okay, so we say that we kind of tuned out when during the time that MVP was hot, Mr. Anderson was hot, Kendrick and London were around. So yeah. It's kind of like late Ruthless Aggression. That's more PG era, though. That's more like, that's sort of early PG, late
also,
Ruthless Aggression.
We are quite upfront with our admiration of Edge and his ability to constantly do neat things.
Yeah. It's just there was a lot of weird, it was like post when, like, remember when they had an embarrassment of riches when the WCW guys were there. The NWO, Hogan, all that stuff. So it's kind of after that. But then, like, when Cena was kind of making his mark, like, I like JBL, like, you know, when it was Benoit, Guerrero, JBL, Cena, Batista and Triple H are doing their thing. I was into it then.
Yeah.
That was firmly Ruthless Aggression. But like during the later days, like 2007 to 2010 or so, that's when I tuned out. Mm-hmm. And that's when it was, you know, you look at WrestleMania 27 and that's like the perfect example of when we were like, this is not good.
Mm-hmm.
Like The Miz is the champion. And, mm-hmm. you know, we love The Miz. And I kind of feel like his championship reign was a bit underrated at this point. But it still wasn't good. But anyways, the question is, why do you guys never review previews?
I think pay-per-views.
Pay-per-views.
We did. We did Armageddon 2004.
Yeah, that's true. I think we've done WrestleMania 27 before.
We might have done that with Dan.
With Dan,
yeah.
Maybe, yeah. I think we were going to do December to...
Dismember.
December to Dismember. But then I started watching. I'm like, this is just kind of boring. I don't want to watch this. So I don't know if there's recommendations from 2007 and 2010, if that's the era you're talking about when we kind of dogged it. But I think that's more like...
We did WrestleMania 25, too.
When did the WWE PG era start? Let's see if there's like sort of an official consensus.
Summer
2008. While no true start date was given, the July 22nd, 2008 episode of SmackDown was the first show that would use a PG television rating as opposed to a PG DVL rating. That's kind of interesting. Maybe this week I'll say we'll do like the start of the Attitude, start of PG.
Start of Ruthless Aggression.
Start of Ruthless
Aggression. That'd be interesting.
Aggression. And he says, is there any chance we'll ever do old TNA reviews? The only thing about our going in review is we want the point of entry to be just the WWE Network. And so that makes it, you know, available to pretty much everybody in our audience, because generally I think most of our audience has the network.
Yeah.
So that would sort of...
Yeah, I think the point of doing the retro reviews is not just for us to watch it, but for everybody else to get a chance to watch it too.
Right, exactly, and experience it with us.
Yep. Let's do a couple more.
Okay. Oh, you know what? Now that we've kind of that guy again, what should be the next WWE tournament? There hasn't really been one.
Tag teams.
Yeah. Tag teams across the world.
Mm-hmm.
Who would we have in that
War Machine.
Tournament? War Machine.
They're free agents.
Get the, what are they called?
Chosen Bros.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good one. I mean, look, obviously.
The Chris Brothers.
Obviously, we try to say the Young Bucks, but, well, number one, they're signed away, but.
Well, just till the end of next year.
Yeah, I know.
Chris Brothers. I don't know how long they're signed to GFW. Hopefully they got in those 6 months contracts.
Yeah. Let's see here. Who else? I had some on my mind.
Oh, one of them wonder, since we're just kind of.
Intergender. World's cutest tag team.
Yeah, that's good. I was going to say the Unbreakable Effing Machines, Brian Cage and Michael Elgin.
Oh, ooh, wow. That'd be good. Oh, what about, didn't they tag together? Didn't we see them in a tagging together? Shane Strickland and, Sammy Callahan?
Yeah.
I don't know if they like normally do that together.
South Pacific Power
yeah,
Trip.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think
TK Cooper
of
and, oh, what's the other guy's name?
Yeah.
Travis Banks.
Put Mustache Mountain in there too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah. okay. Matt Chapman. They're still calling Ty Dillinger's finisher the tiebreaker, even though it's a different move. I know they've done this before, Dirty Deeds being one example, but I think they should have changed the name. My suggestion would be 10 for the win. What would you call another finisher names you would change? I like 10 for the win.
That's good.
That'd be good.
That would be good.
He had the 10 for the win. And every single time, I'd just chuckle.
Yeah, I would too. I'd probably start humming the theme song to myself.
doom, 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 doom. And it's weird because I think a lot of people don't know what we're talking about right
now. I know.
Now. Could be. Maybe. Maybe not.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Did he ask what other moves? Is there more? Or is that it?
I think they should have changed his name. Oh, yeah. What would you call it? And what other finisher names would you change?
10 for the win.
yeah. Good. No, I'm with you on that one, Matt. I would change the name of the lumbar check.
You would?
Yeah. I don't like that name.
I'm okay with it because the move, especially when sold, is so good.
I know. No, dude, I love the move. It needs a cooler name. Lumbar check sounds like a medical exam.
It sounds like you're just going to the chiropractor.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
I got to get my lumbar checked. You know, and the doctor drops you and you go bouncing up.
And you're like, wow, I feel great. My spine is aligned.
I feel awesome.
I didn't even think it has a name. Whatever Seth's finisher is.
yeah. What do they call the ripcord knee trigger?
Something like that. It seems like such a placeholder right now until he can find something better.
Finisher or name?
Both.
you know, I'll be honest. Might be an unpopular opinion. I hate that as a finisher. I really do.
Yeah.
Like, he can't pull it off like Okada pulls off the Rainmaker.
No, but, I mean, like, if he was allowed to, because I'm sure he could probably physically do it, deliver it like Kenny does his knees.
Oh, my God.
It'd be totally believable.
Yeah, I know.
But since he kind of has to hit him in the shoulder.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyways, let's do trivia.
Yes, do trivia.
Today on trivia, and later on in chat trivia for patrons only.
Are you ready?
Classic and attitude.
Starting with attitude, apparently.
Attitude first.
Who defeated Big Boss Man, Prince Albert, Midian, and Viscera in a one-on-four elimination match at Survivor Series 99?
Survivor Series 91, 99.
99.
It was who? Midian? It was the ministry.
Boss Man, Prince Albert, Midian, and Viscera.
So it was a corporate ministry. Okay. Boss Man, Midian. So I'm just going to say... not going to be that. I'll say Stone Cold.
Well.
All right. Fair enough.
That was Big Events.
The Big Show Events. Oh, okay. Well, again, Big Events. Who defeated The Undertaker in a Buried Alive match at Survivor Series 2003?
Kane.
You're buried alive!
Vince somehow beat. Sure Kane probably helped.
Yeah, championships. Who did The Rock defeat for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship at SummerSlam 2001?
Booker T.
Yeah.
Championships.
Yes.
At Vengeance 2001... Who won both the WCW and WWE championships, becoming the first ever undisputed
Chris
champion?
Jericho.
Baby!
Superstar bio. What superstar hit number one on the New York Times bestseller list with his autobiography, Have a Nice...
Mankind.
Well, it says Mick Foley.
Mick, okay.
Yes, Mankind. Put up your finger.
Superstar bio.
Superstar bio.
What WWE diva used her Widow's Peak maneuver?
Oh, that was Victoria.
Wow, look at you.
Big
man,
events.
Man with a brain.
Big events. Who teamed with Hulk Hogan to challenge Money Inc. for the World Tag Team Championships at WrestleMania 9?
WrestleMania 9? Brutus the Barber Beefcake?
Yep.
Nice. Big events. What former rival of Andre the Giant was the special guest referee for Andre's match against Jake the Snake Roberts at WrestleMania 5? Former rival of Andre the Giant, special guest referee against Jake the Snake, WrestleMania 5.
John Studd.
Very good. Look at you.
Championships. On what popular WWE interview segment did Andre the Giant challenge WrestleMania to a WWE title match at WrestleMania 3?
Piper's Pit.
Gosh, that's easy.
Championships. What North of the Border tag team won the World Tag Team Championship 3 times between September 93 and March of 94?
North of the Border, you say?
Canada.
No, I know that.
Not north of like the Texas border.
The Quebecers.
Very good.
Superstar bio.
Superstar bio.
What superstar did Jake the Snake Roberts tie up in the ring ropes and attack with the vicious King Cobra in October 91?
Macho Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, we could tie.
No.
None of that's ever happened.
Tie.
10.
Superstar bio. Who teamed with Earthquake to form the Natural Disasters? Earthquake and?
Typhoon.
Very good.
Look at that. Tie.
Tie.
Combined tie. Score?
10.
10.
10. We got 10 for the win. All right. Anyways, that's it for the show today. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. Patrons, stay tuned. We're going to do
chat trivia.
Till next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.